On today's episode of Insights, we break down our five favorite segments from 2019. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. If you're like most staffing firms, finding good candidates right now is a major struggle. At Haley Marketing, we have a number of tools that will help you recruit both active and passive candidates, drive more traffic to your job board, and increase applications. To learn more, give us a call at 888-696-2900. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights, tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your content and digital recruiting and marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing. He's Matt Lozar. Matt, back from Disney World. How's everything going, buddy?
If you can't be in a good mood at the happiest place on earth during the month of December, then we just can't talk.
So Insights is based out of Buffalo, New York. So Matt came back to about, 3 inches of snow? Not a lot. Certainly was in Orlando.
No, I was going the wrong way.
Yes.
So it was a fun trip, and now we're back here at Buffalo, New York, Haley Marketing Group, ready to recap our favorite segments from 2019 and how we can modify them to help staffing agencies and recruiters for 2020.
And you know, Matt, before we get started, I just want to give you a quick shout out. We had a plan and a goal to put together 24 episodes of Insights in 2019. As I look at the number, I think we ended the year with 27 episodes of Insights. I'm proud of the success of the program here. I'm happy that we stuck with it, that Haley Marketing Group backed us for the whole 2019, and I'm excited for where we're headed in 2020. I think wrapping up these five segments here is a good way to put together our favorite segments, add a new spin to them, add a new take, but really put together what we would consider a clip episode of new content.
It's been great, as well as, you know, Brad's kind of been a very big force behind this show as well. And to be able, you know, I think we've learned a lot. Hopefully we share a lot of good insights with our audience. We know people are listening and learning some of the feedback, and we always want to thank our listeners for that. And, you know, hopefully to continue to grow this in 2020 and just share more insights with the staffing industry.
And if there's a topic you want to see us cover in 2020, connect with myself or Matt on LinkedIn, shoot us a message. Let us know what you're thinking. We'd love to join the conversation. We'd love to talk about what you're experiencing or what you're challenged with right now so that we can provide some value to you. So Matt, let's get started with topic one. How can you create a successful content plan for 2020?
I'll give personal experience with our clients and blogging clients, you know, the clients that we work content with, is look at the best content from 2019. Look at your statistics for page views for on your website. If you have Google Analytics installed, look at that content. Look at your social media statistics for this content. Look at your email statistics. You know, look at the data and see what works well there. And how can you repurpose that into content for this year? Is it taking one of the smaller points in the article and expanding on it? Is it just shifting the entire article and updating it with new information? Look at that data and select those topics from 2019 to use them on your content plans for 2020.
I think it starts with data, Matt, and we're going to talk about this point moving forward in an upcoming topic here, but you have to start with your why, and you need to understand your goals really before you think through a content strategy. Without knowing what you're going to be talking about based on your goals, coming up with that content plan or that content strategy is incredibly challenging. You need to know your goal. You need to know what you're trying to accomplish. And ultimately, you need to know your target audience. Who are you trying to speak to with every single article? Does every post have a purpose, and does it serve a specific need? Identify your goal, identify your key target audience, and then build a content strategy around their challenges and their struggles. How can you provide the best answer to the questions that those individuals are asking themselves day after day? If we think about building a content strategy for 2020, absolutely start with what worked well in 2019, and then sit down, evaluate your 2019 goals, and move forward, your 2020 goals, and then evaluate how you can provide the best answer to those questions or challenges.
You know, a perfect example of this is, you know, for a client, I work with 365 Healthcare Staffing in California, and every year one of their best posts is a salary guide for surgical technicians and sterile technicians. And literally today, the day we're taping this podcast, I was finishing the content of the 2020 salary guide for surgical techs, the 2020 salary guide for sterile techs. And it works well because everybody searches salary. Job candidates, which is their main target, but also client side too, also wants to know what's the market rate, what are their companies paying, what's, you know, the national average, the state average from all of the, you know, Bureau of Labor Statistics data, you know, what's that information out there? So that's one example I always like to repurpose every year because it's updated info. And if you put that year in there and that salary, it's a really good way to reach your audience with the strong content and build your content plan to start the next year.
And that really builds into pillar content if you need it to. You could start with that salary guide, break that down into 5-6 different articles. You could look at that salary guide and spin it. So I know you were talking about different technicians. That's great. But you could spin that into other roles and how that could benefit other individuals. Matt made a great point too. Salary guides aren't just for candidates. They're for your potential prospects or clients to understand, hey, this is the going rate for an A player in Buffalo, New York in this role. If you're not paying the salary, it's going to be incredibly difficult to get an A player. So to wrap up this topic, Matt, if we think about creating a content strategy for 2020, look at your data. Start with 2019 success. See what worked well on your blog. Exploit that. Create more content around it. Think about pillar content. Think about what content you have access to, what data you have access to that you can wrap into a content strategy. And then think about your main goals. Who are you trying to reach with every piece of content that you post so that every post has a purpose? And how can you answer that question that they might have day after day in the best way? Matt, let's get to topic two. How can you write great job descriptions in 2020? As director of recruitment marketing, you see this day after day as you're looking at applications across the industry for varying job titles. If we get past the job title, though, and we get to job descriptions, what are you seeing in terms of what works really well in generating great job descriptions?
This one's bothering me more and more. As Brad said, I read more job descriptions or, you know, job advertisements, job postings. They're boring. They're stock. They are repeated. They are just not excitable for the job candidates.
Do you think that's because recruiters or staffing specialists are using that same description multiple times? So they write it once. So, you know, as let's say marketing director, right? Let's just do something that we're comfortable with. Marketing director. Well, I was looking for one in June. I'm looking for one in December. Run it again.
I think so. I have the word challenge written down here. And that was one of the points I was going to reach on is I do think it's a challenge because marketing director might be a little more, you know, bigger, you know, a higher level job I think of, maybe like machine operator. Sure. Every 2 weeks, I know I need a machine operator in Toledo, Ohio. So I'm just going to repurpose the job description in, which isn't great. I'm just going to repeat it. But maybe even, I know it's a lot of work for recruiters, but find a way in the first 4 sentences to pick out the best details about that job and then use that job description you've already used. Maybe this job has a very flexible schedule. Maybe this job offers overtime opportunities. Maybe this job offers 12-hour shifts on Saturdays and Sundays, maybe that which could allow someone to pick up another job. Figure out what works well for that job and highlight it in the first couple sentences because that's the hook. Whatever we read, it's not just job descriptions, it's anywhere. We scroll on social media, we scroll on content, we scroll everywhere. And if it doesn't catch our eye quickly, move on to the next anything that'll grab our attention. So my thought there is just in the opening, get that really 2 to 4 sentences that works well to grab that job candidate and get them to want to apply for the job.
You know, my mom always told me never judge a book by its cover. But in 2020 digital marketing, everybody is judging that book by its cover. Individuals are judging everything based on imagery, based on headline copy. So if your candidates are looking at job after job after job because they're looking for their next opportunity, they're judging that opportunity by the cover. They're judging it by the first headline that they read. Maybe that's the job title. From there, they're judging it by the first chapter of the book, let's say. They're judging it by those first 2 to 4 sentences that Matt was discussing. And they're thinking, hey, should I continue reading this? Is this the job for me? Based off of the first 2 to 4 sentences. If they can't see themselves in that role after that opening paragraph, they're not going to continue scrolling. They're not going to continue looking at that opportunity. So what we need to do is captivate the audience's attention. We need to captivate the attention of that job seeker. We need to make sure that our job descriptions are also including salary. I know we talked about this on the last episode of Secrets of Staffing Success, where I talked with host Todd Lewandowski about how to create a captivating job listing for 2020, and you need to include your salary. At record low unemployment, we're targeting passive applicants who are currently somewhat happy, at least somewhat happy in their current role. Without knowing what they could make in another role, why would they apply to your job? So we need to captivate their attention, and then we need to entice them with something like salary.
The healthcare field is where I see this being the big issue, because healthcare is extremely hard to recruit for right now, but job candidates are clicking on jobs. They're viewing them. They're not applying. And what we see a lot in healthcare is a lot of companies, especially on the travel side, or you know, if you're in a local market, have access to the same jobs. So they're getting very similar job descriptions, and healthcare candidates are smart enough to, they click on the job, they read it, they're like, this is nothing exciting about it. Think about a travel nurse. You need to sell the destination. You need to sell the relationship with the recruiter. So find a way in that beginning to really get that passive candidate, you know, you were just talking about, to get them to want to switch their job, because they are somewhat happy, but if they're looking around, then they are also somewhat unhappy. So find a way to make that job description exciting from the beginning. And I know it's a challenge to create a new job description every time you get an order, but even just do a little bit of that changing every single time and see if those results work to drive more applications coming up here in 2020.
Matt, let's get to topic 3 of our best of episode from 2019, where Matt and I are breaking down our 5 favorite segments from Insights throughout 2019. The next topic, Matt, what are SMART goals and why are they important? I'll start with what are SMART goals, and then I'll get to you about why they're important. How about that? SMART goals are specific, they're measurable, they're achievable, they're realistic, and they're time-bound. When we look at setting a goal for 2020, we don't just want to say that we want to generate more applications. That's a hope or a wish. We want to quantify that. We want to make it a SMART goal. We want to make sure it's specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. We want to have that time-bound stamp. So we're not just going through 2020 saying, oh, we'll get there. Oh, we'll get there. Oh, the goal is shifting. No, we want to make it SMART. We want to quantify it. We want to put a time-bound stamp on it. And we want to have that SMART goal. Matt, I'm going to pass it to you. Why are SMART goals so important as we look at 2020?
They're important. We could probably do this segment every year, every recap ever. Because I remember from educational undergraduate business classes, SMART goals are a thing, and it's not a new concept, but it's important to have that, because a goal without a deadline is just a dream. So if you're able to lock in,
is that a Walt Disney quote?
No, that's a dream is a wish your heart makes.
Close.
I believe. So you really want to focus on having a goal that you can measure, which is, I want to increase the clerical side of my business by 10% in the next 6 months.
Perfect.
Sounds good to me. Once you get into the habit of setting SMART goals, they're very easy and they make a lot of sense. And you're going to be able to determine what is a SMART goal and what is not a SMART goal very quickly.
It also helps you set benchmarks throughout the year, right? If I know that I want to grow the clerical side of my business by 20% by December 31st, we know that, okay, to do 20%, in 4 quarters, we need to grow it by 5% every quarter if we want equal growth. We need to make sure that we're balanced. We can then set benchmarks and we can say, okay, after Q1, are we on the path to success? Are we moving in the right direction or are we trailing in the wrong direction? It makes it very easy. If all we say is in 2020, we want to generate more applications, we're venturing out on a journey without a clear destination. We might get to Disney World, or we might end up in Cleveland, Ohio. Matt, for you, maybe both are equally as exciting. For me, they're not. I would rather go to Disney. For those of you that are new to the program, Matt is originally from Cleveland. But as we're thinking about a SMART goal, we want to make sure that we have a clearly defined business goal for 2020. From there, our marketing tactics and marketing strategies that we deploy should be in line with those overall goals.
And Brad said at the beginning of the show, we had a smart goal for this podcast, and it's up here on the whiteboard in the recording studio at Haley Marketing Group. It's 25 episodes. And, you know, we did that. You know, it's two a month plus a bonus one somewhere.
Yep.
And, you know, we got 26, 27, whatever it is. And that led us to meeting our goal. We had a plan. You break down that big goal into smaller goals. And I think on the flip side, the challenge of setting a smart goal is the fear of failure. Because if we said we want to raise the clerical part of our business by 10%, 20% in 6 months, and we know we're not going to get there about 75% of the way through, we failed.
We fear accountability.
Correct. So that's a very interesting balancing act. That's probably a different podcast for a different day. And it shouldn't deter you from setting that SMART goal. You know, your goal, that's why it needs to be realistic in that. You know, achievable, realistic, AR part of the acronym. So set the goal that you can achieve and don't be afraid of that accountability and the fear of failure, because if you break that bigger goal into smaller goals, it will help you reach the end point at the end of the duration of your goal.
Matt, topic four of our favorite segments from 2019, evaluating the application process. I'm going to let you get started with this. I know you look at a lot of different job board data and a lot of different job boards from throughout the staffing and recruiting industry. So when we think about evaluating the application process, get us started here.
It needs to be simple. It needs to be, you know, candidate experience is a deal breaker, not a deal maker. So it's something where if you find a job anywhere, think about email, think about social media, think about your number one job aggregator job board, you click on that job, you go to the company's website, to their application, all of a sudden you need to fill out 25 fields, or it's just not an enjoyable process. That person's going to click off that job and go to your competitor in about 1.3 seconds. So you need to be really have a enjoyable candidate experience because of the way we're interacting with not only applying for a job, you know, on desktop, on mobile, but also how we're experiencing on the consumer side as well, which we could dig into with this topic as well.
When I think about evaluating the application process in 2020, I would challenge you to physically apply to one of the jobs on your job board on both mobile and desktop and actually time how long it takes you to get through that application process. Actually evaluate your application process as you move into 2020. Identify where there's friction. Identify where there's parts of the process that don't make sense. Identify those bottlenecks where if you're an applicant, where you might get frustrated. Then challenge somebody else to go through that process. Maybe it's a friend or a family member. Have them go through the process as well and document their experience with it. Where do they see friction? Where do they have frustrations with the application process? Does the mobile application require things that individuals wouldn't have on their phone? Maybe that's a resume or other documentation that they wouldn't have on their phone. Can individuals actually apply from a mobile device? So if I think about evaluating the application process in 2020, it's physically going through the steps, timing yourself, in understanding that good isn't good enough, one of the core values here at Haley Marketing Group, how can you make it better for 2020?
Yeah, two parts I want to jump on here is one, if you are married to a longer initial application process, a very successful way or one way to increase that success is to put the amount of time it's going to take someone to fill out the application, a number of steps. That does help. There is statistics out there that say, okay, if this is going to take me 17 minutes, say that. It's going to keep people around more than just having no information there.
Love that idea.
The second one is, and we've really just focused on the candidate application experience here. What happens after they click apply? You know, you might not be able to do that. You know, find a way to mystery shop your own staffing agency. Find a way to, if it's yourself under a pseudonym, if it's a friend, if it's a family member, if it's someone you can trust in the industry, have them go through. Okay, you email them. Do they get a thank you email? Do they get a follow-up text message? What's the process to schedule an interview? How long does your company go dark with communication? You know, does a candidate know the timeline for how long this whole process is going to take? Because we need to remember, people are trying to apply for a job. So this is a big deal. This is something that brings them income, that brings them resources to spend money on their family for whatever they need to do to pay bills, to maybe do something, you know, take a vacation or whatever they need for that weekly paycheck. So think about that experience. Someone's going to apply for a job, all those transaction costs, and think about each step that happens, not just up to apply, but also apply for the interactions with your team of recruiters and with your staffing agency.
Matt, let's get to the final topic here. How can you get over your fear of pressing record and start creating video content? For me, it starts by pressing record and getting over your fear of pressing record. I can't say it any more simple, but video content starts by actually doing. You can observe everybody in the industry that's already creating video content and think about what you like or don't like, but you have to press record. So what I would challenge you to do in 2020 is get yourself a tripod, get out the mobile device in your purse or your pocket, hook it up to that tripod, and record 5 videos that you're just going to watch, learn from, and continue to develop. After those 5, record 1 more and take that 1 live. But press record and get started in the process, because you have to create content to understand how you become comfortable in front of that camera.
Building off what you said, choose a topic you're knowledgeable about. And eventually it probably will be something on the professional side, but if you're afraid to just hit record in the beginning, maybe it's cooking, maybe it's makeup, maybe it's sports, because as someone who has just pressed record, as someone who has taught a class in front of graduate and undergraduate students where you have to stand there and talk for a long time and actually watch other people present as well, I think the success and the comfort level of public speaking, which is what you're doing in front of your mobile device, your success increases a lot when it's a topic you know about and you're not trying to rehearse a script. You just stand there and you pull from this database of encyclopedia of information in the back of your head, because you have some main points you want to talk on, but you're able to navigate through some that half second of dead time, that pause, that breath you need to take to continue talking to sound very knowledgeable and very comfortable speaking on that topic.
I love the idea, Matt. You have to start with something that you're comfortable with. And even though your video content will get to a point where you're talking about top jobs or recruitment best practices, start with something that you're comfortable with. Start with sports, cooking. I love that idea. Press record, watch yourself back, and learn from those experiences. From there, as you grow into 2020, you'll begin to develop. I also want to challenge you to get over the thought of that imposter syndrome, that you're not as good as you could be, or you're not somebody else. You're great enough to create video content. Don't worry about what others are going to think. Don't think about the fact that there might be a comment section that's going to ridicule you. I think there's a level of hesitation when it comes to putting yourself out there that individuals get nervous about. I'm here to say it's okay. Matt's here to say it's okay. We've put together a world of video content, some that are great, some that could be better. But the thing is, you have to create content. There's no such thing as perfect content, and you need to put content out there to understand what hits your audience in the right way and what isn't going to be the best piece of content.
Yeah, from a personal experience, I'm not the most charismatic person that walks in the room. I'm very jealous of someone who can just walk in and light up the room. And to build off Brad's point of the fear of the comment section or the haters, I actually wrote down that note beforehand about not being comfortable. And I mean, we're not on a very high level of getting exposure and reach of our content. Maybe I'm speaking for myself, not just Brad here, but I'm talking about like super duper celebrity level. Sure. I've never had a negative comment. I've never had someone, maybe, and if it is, maybe 99 to 1 positive to negative.
Yep.
It's never been somebody at a conference or anywhere coming up to me and say, hey, you really stink at this.
The feedback has actually been the opposite,
right?
I mean, I've been with you at conferences where people have come up or they've asked for you as the guy from the Matt Minute.
And I don't think I'm
astonishing.
And I don't think I'm very good.
But you are.
Right.
And that's the astonishing part is it's happened to me as well, is people watch and consume content. And it is a great feeling when someone does come up to you and they say, and they'll say this to me. I saw it at Staffing World when Matt and I were in Vegas. Where's Matt? I watch his Matt Minute all the time. And I was like, are we talking about the same guy here? It was awesome. It was awesome. And it's great to see Matt get to a comfortable level where video content just happens now. You know, there was a time where it took some, you know, lightening up and getting to a point where you were comfortable on camera. But now it's second nature for you, and that's awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting. Brad gets comments all the time. If you see some of his content, the same thing kind of happens. And, you know, that really helps it because we're helping, you know, we're talking about staffing and recruiting and trying to put people to work and to put people into jobs. At the end of the day, that's what we're here for. And that's why we have this podcast. That's why we do video. That's why you should get out there and just press record. You know, find a way to get comfortable. Find a topic you're comfortable on. Watch your content and learn from it, improve from it, and then put your content in a public forum and learn to continue to improve and see what happens.
That's our show, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we ask that you please tell just one coworker about it this week. If you have a question for us, you could tweet us at Haley Marketing and let us know what you're thinking, or email info@haleymarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You can check out HaleyMarketing.com or get in touch with our team of marketing educators. For my podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of Insights and joining us throughout 2019. Looking forward to the upcoming year and bringing you fresh content in 2020. We'll see you soon.